One of the great things about the Word of God is when you're spending time in the Word, I love the fact that you can just see how the Word always ties itself back to the Word. You can see themes that go weave their way throughout, truths that weave their way throughout the Word of God. And a lot of times when you have questions or you might hear different people saying, well, this verse means this or someone else says it means that. You know, one of the great ways for me to really find out what the ultimate answer is that I'm satisfied with is I let the Word define the Word. I let the Word tell me what the Word says. I let the Word explain what the Word says. There's so many times in the Word of God that you can see, if you'll just follow it and follow it through, you'll see that the Word does explain what it means. And you'll also see that those themes, those truths, again, they weave themselves through the Word of God. And if you read one verse and you're looking for clarification, you can find other verses that bring clarification to it. I want to look at an example of that this morning as well. This is from the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, this is verse number 7. Now, we all love verse number 8. This is what leads up to it. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. So that's what leads into it. Now, here's the verse I want to look at. Verse number 9 says this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as we read that verse, that's a verse that we've all heard. It brings great encouragement. It's good for us to know that he's commanded us to be strong, to be of good courage, to not be afraid nor dismayed, for he is with us wherever we go. This is a promise that he made to Joshua, but it's the Word of God, so it's a promise for you and I today as well. So we've all read that verse. It's brought us encouragement, but it also brings us to a place where, well, we say a couple of things. First of all, we're instructed to be strong and of good courage, to not be afraid or dismayed. Now, that's good for us to know. We can even take it so far as to say, is it a suggestion that God's making? Well, I just really suggest it's going to be better for your life if you're not afraid, if you're not dismayed. It's not a suggestion. He's pretty clear. He starts off that verse by saying, have I not commanded for you to be strong, to be of good courage, to not be afraid nor dismayed? This is a commandment God is saying to you and I. This is his instruction for us. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. To be strong, to be of good courage. This is what his command is. So we know it's what he expects. He wouldn't tell us to do something if he didn't empower us to do it. So we know that it's what he expects. We also know that he empowers us to do that, because he wouldn't say, I commanded, if that weren't true. But it oftentimes leaves us sitting here thinking, okay, I know that he commanded it, so I know it's his expectation, and I know that he wouldn't expect me to do something or command me to do something if he didn't give me the power to do it. So I believe all that, but how do I make that a reality? How do I make that happen? How do I make that come to pass in my life? Because we've all been to the place where we've felt dismayed. Maybe today you feel dismayed. Maybe today there's something you're afraid about. And as you read this verse and you hear this verse, have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now those are words of great comfort. Those are words of truth, and they're words of comfort. And for you today, if you feel dismayed, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel fearful about something, these are great words. They bring great comfort. They bring great hope to us. But again, it leaves us with the question, how do I do that? How do I make that reality in my life? Well, here's the first thing. Anytime we see words or phrases like let or do not, okay, that's telling me that I have a choice. So I have to, first of all, choose to believe this is true, to believe that he has already empowered me to do this, and to believe that this is the reality, this can be the reality for my life. Whether I feel it at this moment or not, this is what the truth is. But then here's the second thing, and this is what I wanted to show you. This is the great thing. This is why I look, if you ever have Bibles, I think most of us have multiple Bibles. I bring in different Bibles all the time, just based on how I want to read it from the different versions. But one of the Bibles that I have with me almost all the time is a New King James Bible that I have. And the reason that I have it is there's no commentary in it. But it does have the center line reference. Some Bibles have references at the bottom. But I love the references or the center line references. Because if you're going through and you see something, you read a verse and you see that, wow, that really speaks to me, but I want to know more about it. Or that speaks to me, but there's an element of it that I just don't really fully understand, which I think probably a lot of us feel as we read that from Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. We know it. We understand it. But we sometimes have a problem on how do we actually make that happen in our lives. This is where you can find the Bible, the Word itself, will show you, will teach you, will guide you, will explain itself. And if you have those center references, those are great because it shows us other places where we see in the Word of God that very statement or thought. So as we're looking at that, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9, it takes us immediately to the book of Psalms. And in Psalm 27, verse number 1. So, we've just read from Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9, that God's commanding us to not be afraid, to be of good courage. And it leaves us thinking, okay, I know it's true. How do I do that in my life? And this begins the thread. And I want you to see the thread, how this takes us. And there's even more places we could go than this. Time's going to limit me to just these verses, but you could take this. It'll thread itself all through the Word of God and keeps answering. It keeps bringing more information, more enlightenment, more understanding, more pieces of information, more truth, more relevancy of the truth to our lives as you get a fuller, deeper understanding of it. If you read verses and you're not quite sure how to apply them or you're not quite sure fully what they mean, let the Bible explain to you exactly what the Bible is saying. All right, so this is what it says in Psalm 27, verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. So I know from Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9, that I'm supposed to not be dismayed or not be afraid. I know that's true, and I know he commanded me not to. But I was left with the question of how do I actually bring that to pass? How do I actually apply that to my life? Well, we get point number 1 here. In Psalm 27, verse number 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So the Word is teaching us here further that you're supposed to ask yourself the question. If you're fearful, if you're dismayed today, here's the question. What is it I'm exactly afraid of? Exactly what is it I'm fearful of? Because this verse is telling me that the Lord is my strength. And by the way, strength here means refuge and stronghold. So God is saying that I am your refuge and I am your stronghold. So how do we get to that place of, if I know that I'm not supposed to be dismayed or afraid, how do I get there? Well, point number 1 is realizing the reality. He's saying here, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, or the Lord is my refuge. Here's the first thing to say to ourselves today. If there's something you're fearful of, if there's something you're in dismay over, if there's something that you're anxious about, if there's something that's causing you great anxiety, then I need to make sure that I make the choice, I make the deliberate choice to go to the Father. This is the reality. Now, this is going to sound like an oversimplification, but here's the reality. Most of us, when we have problems, we're not spending a lot of time in the Word. Now, we'll go to our friends. We'll go to our confidants. We'll go to our spouses. We'll go to people that we know and trust and feel comfortable with. And we'll tell them, we'll ask them, we'll share with them. We'll let them know we're fearful. We'll share those anxieties with them. But the reality is, for the most part, we're pretty reticent to share those things with God. Oh, we may say it in a cursory fashion. God, please help me and deliver me. But if he's my refuge and my stronghold, you know, a place of refuge is a place that you go to. It's a place that you go to and you wall yourself in. You know, if I'm looking for a place of refuge, if I'm running and I'm hiding and I'm trying to get away from danger, I'm going to go to that place of refuge. I'm closing those doors. I'm locking the windows. I'm making myself secure in there. In other words, I am fully invested in being in that place of refuge and being in that stronghold. And God is saying, I am your stronghold. I am your place of refuge. Come to me. We go to everybody else. We just come to him in a cursory fashion. We need to come to him fully and totally. If you feel fearful or dismayed about something today, this is my question. Because this is point number 1. The question is, have you spent much time? Have you spent any time? If you have spent any time, have you spent much time Because he said, I am your refuge. Have you allowed yourself to go to him, to be enwrapped in him, spent the time just with him? And that means spending time not just sharing your fears and your worries, but also stopping and listening. Just being quiet. Being at peace with him. Waiting on him, because it's as you're waiting on him, that's where the peace comes. That's where the strengthening comes. Now, I know that goes against, it flies in the face of what we feel, what we know from our culture, because we're a culture that, you know, give me my answers and give them to me now. Give me my pleasure. Give me my relief. Give me whatever it is I want. Give it to me and give it to me right now. 2 minutes from now is way too much time to wait. I want it right now. But the things of God don't operate the way that things do here on this earth. They don't operate the way that we've become accustomed. So if I'm reading Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9, and I know that I'm not supposed to be afraid or dismayed, he's commanded me not to, and he said in that command to be strong and to be of good courage, so I know that these things are possible. I know it's possible for me to be strong. I know it's possible for me to have courage. He wouldn't have commanded it if it wasn't possible. How do I do that? Point number one is I go to God. Go to God first. Let me give you a story. The station I worked at before I was here at Yes FM, I've been with Yes FM for coming up on, well, it's been more than 17 years. But I was at a radio station, a Christian radio station before then, and I was managing that station, and when I was managing that station, there was something that came up that was just devastating news. And what I would tend to do, whenever there was a problem in my life, I had two great resources. My wife would always give me comfort. She would always give me encouragement. Her words would always be strengthening, and I knew that there was always someone on my side, someone who loved me no matter what. And this was really bad news. I mean, it was potentially devastating news. So that was one source. The other source says I call my pastor. My pastor always had a word. He would always have a word. He'd always have a word from God. He'd always have, when I say word from God, there would be a word from the scriptures, from the word, but he'd also listen and hear from the Holy Spirit. And he would always speak things that would just bolster my strength and put iron, you know, in my spine, in my backbone, and I would go forward. And when I got this news, I reach for the phone because these are my two sources. I'm going to call my wife first, and I'm going to call Donna because this is devastating news. I'm going to call. I'm going to get comfort. I'm going to get encouragement. I'm going to get love, but I'm also going to get strength. I'm going to get a word from God. And I actually have my hand on the receiver of the phone, and I can still see this today. This is like 25 years ago. I can still see my hand on that receiver, and I picked it up, and I had to set it right back down because the Lord said to me, not just an encouragement, it was the Lord saying to me, don't talk to them until you have peace with me. When you have peace with me in this regard, then you can contact them. Then you can let them know. Oh, that was not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to get the immediate results of the peace and the comfort that came from my loving wife and my pastor who loved me also, like a son. That's where I wanted to get my encouragement and strength. But I knew that this was going to be a turning point for me in my life. I was either going to continue to rely on the people that I relied on, and there's nothing wrong with having people you trust and you can rely on, but they have to be secondary. They cannot be the primary. God has to be the primary. And God was teaching me at that moment, you're either going to start trusting me and truly relying and trusting on me, or you're always going to continue to rely on man. And as good as God sent me some good people in my life, but as good as they were, they could not give me the strength. They could not give me the courage. What God was saying to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, they could not give me because it could only come from God. The strength, the courage, the ability to not be fearful, to not be dismayed, no man can give you that. I had to go to God. And so I'll tell you what, for 2 days, I struggled and I wrestled and I was uncomfortable because I wanted to talk to them. But I knew that I had to get my comfort with God. Then I could talk to them. And to make a really long story short, here's what happened. After 3 days, I got my answer. It was just God and I. I walked through that. It was God and I. No one else knew. Now, my wife could see something was going on, and she asked me what was going on, and I told her, I would tell her when I could, but God told me to deal with this with him. I would tell her when I could, but it had to be God and I. And so after 3 days, I finally got peace about it. I was at peace. I knew that the Lord would take care of it. I was peace. I had that strength. I had the fear was gone. The dismay was gone. The courage and the strength were there. I had it. And that day, that very day that I had it, I got the answer too. It was all resolved. Nothing I did, but it was all resolved. But here's the greatest thing. And this is why I want you to see. We'll come back to verse number one in just a second. But here's the greatest thing I learned from that. Well, the second greatest thing. The first greatest thing was I knew I could trust God and I should take those things to Him first. But here's what God did. I had great resources from the humans around me. God had given me great relationships. But that even changed. When I went to God first and I found my peace, I found Him as my refuge and my stronghold. When I made Him my refuge and my stronghold, when I made Him that true refuge and stronghold, not just a cursory, God, please do this, and then I go to my wife and I go to my pastor. I truly made Him my refuge, and that's where I dwelled. And guess what? Not only did I get my answer, thank you, Jesus. Supernatural deliverance that I could never have even thought or imagined. He did that. But that was the day that things changed with my pastor. Now, this is like 25 years ago. My pastor and I have a tremendous friend-to-friend, peer-to-peer family relationship. That's the way that we are. But you know, it all changed on that time, at that moment, because it was the first time, a few days after that, that he called me and he asked me for, hey, my thoughts, my opinions. He wanted me to pray. All of a sudden, we went from a mentor-mentoree, which he's always my mentor, but there was also then a relationship of trust as well. God made that relationship better. If I made God first, He would make all the other relationships even better than they had been. That is the promises and the faithfulness of God. So how do I get that strength and that courage? How do I leave that dismay and that fear? Well, point number one is from Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Again, strength means refuge and stronghold. Point number one. And the whole point is go through this thread. Let the Word explain the Word. Here's point number one. The Word shows us to answer that first question. How do I get that peace? How do I get that courage and that strength that you commanded? To not be fearful, to not be in dismay. How do I do that? Point number one. Make God your refuge and truly make Him your refuge. We'll look at this a little bit further as we see the Word winding us to these answers. That's the strength and the power of the Word.